So-called public utilities, as government-run financial enterprises, do not even try to compete. They surrender to the private sector's aggressive tactics. The private sector understands competition and sees government as a pussycat pushover. It is the government, our government, that should be the big end of town. Would the private sector be queuing to buy these public utilities if they were not potentially profitable?
Welcome to Kaput Radio. My name is Martin. This podcast deals with public assets. Following the last 30 years of neoliberal ideology popularized by Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, one has almost forgotten that we used to have governments managing publicly owned assets with a good stream of revenue to pay for all public programs. Today, we are told that publicly owned assets are inefficient, unprofitable, and have to be privatized. But there are some flaws in that argument. Let's have a closer examination of the issue.
A national business enterprise, a radical concept of government. Financially viable public utilities run as profitable commercial entities in competition with the private sector, not as a subsidiary to it, could provide great public benefits by fully funding those social services for which they were originally designed. In the dog-eat-dog world of debt-financed capitalism, the public becomes the underdog, cowed by large amalgamated business interests. Financial survival under debt finance requires aggressive competitive behaviour. If the private sector were termites, you might say that our governments are riddled with white ants eating away at what should be public profit. Imagine the finance department of your government as an executive body that's responsible for managing your vast public enterprises at a profit. Profit enough to fully fund those public benefits that should serve as your profit. Recently, governments seem to imagine their role is to turn public property over to the mercy of the private sector as fast as they can. The governing authorities unfortunately see selling off the farm as the way to fund social services. Once these assets are sold, how is funding to be sustained? The finance from these sales helps to fill the black hole of debt. It is not invested in profitable dividends. This attitude is counter to the business rules of engagement, as evidenced by our prevailing financial system. So they fail. Finance, because of its scarcity, demands that we compete for it. Today, so-called public utilities, as government-run financial enterprises, do not even try to compete. They surrender to the private sector's aggressive tactics. What happens is these great public, potentially profitable enterprises owned by you and me as citizens are surrendered to the opposition, which means the Treasury becomes dysfunctional financially as the provider of our public facilities. Funding then must be cut across the board in the name of austerity. In some countries, austerity is writ large. The private sector understands competition and sees government as a pussycat pushover. It is eager to take over public enterprises. Oh yes, members of the public protest, but they have no redress. Their property has been sold or leased in their name. So we have no buffer, nothing to counter with. The business section of government and the Minister for Finance have sold out to the private sector. We surrender not only to their privatised prices, but to their dictates. The private sector can and does use and abuse every aspect of every resource and exploit the countryside in the search for that profit that must be found. It can and does pollute water, air, soil, and exploit the population because profit must be made. The finance system, as it stands, demands each sector, private and public, competes for profit. The government hasn't a leg to stand on after privatising the source of its income and is in no position to protect the countryside it is supposed to govern. The proceeds of a property sale is not regular income. It is a one-off. Now, consider the opposite scenario, where potentially highly profitable energy, communications and transport systems are actually run as successful businesses, run for us or by us through government. These few long-term and stable public utilities, even under the dictates of profit, would add strength to public authority, reduce its subservience to the private sector. It is the government, our government, that should be the big end of town. Sound a bit like Marxism? Well, Western governments have, and still do, unprofitably run and mismanage some of these potentially financially viable public service corporations for us. But because politicians are not necessarily the best business people, doesn't mean that profitable outcomes can't be achieved. The private arena finds them most profitable. Running our public facilities at a profit, in competition with big business, would help fund all those services needed for a civilized standard of living. At the same time, the taxation burden would be lightened and the government's reliance on tax reduced. Do most Western governments deliberately misperceive their financial responsibilities and their role as protectors of public property? They blame economic downturns and public tax evasion as an excuse for their financial mismanagement and their treasurer's woes. Do they actually understand the debt system that they so trenchantly uphold? No matter how hard the treasurer pushes the funding cuts agenda, he still can't budget. Are governments just taking the easy way out by selling or leasing public-owned assets? Are these assets not national facilities owned by and owed to the people, us? Should not these utilities be run profitably for the people, by their government, our government? In the past, in some countries, these public utilities were run profitably by government, and under proper management, these utilities should and surely could be again. Would the private sector be queuing to buy these public utilities if they were not potentially profitable? If Government A sells or leases financially viable public assets to the private sector, Government B then finds them difficult to buy back. As members of the general public, we ask, why are we not seeing our governments running a massive nationally owned business enterprise? Most national governments in the early days were in charge of many potentially viable financial assets before selling them off. Most public utilities run by appropriate departments could be under the direct control of CEOs sourced from the big end of business, lured from the world of private commerce, and compensated accordingly for ensuring profitability. Would this not be the more workable way to fill treasury coffers? It could well lessen the burden of taxation. Our present system of creating money as debt is based on the value of an asset held as security. The borrower must make profit enough for repayment plus interest and other costs. As well, the borrower must make an income, and that can only come from profit. The debt system decrees that any business enterprise has to be profitable. Therefore, it must compete. Government business must make enough profit to finance spending on public facilities. These facilities then become profit for the owners, i.e. the nation's population, us. A community's buying power is wages in circulation, borrowed at cost of overdraft. the price that must be asked for local products must include employers' income, investors' dividends, and loan cost repayments. Those inclusions add up to the profit required of a successful trade transaction. But it also illustrates that the wages in local circulation are always less than the price that must be asked for local products. Debt system profit is not, cannot be there. It can only come from export sales. The world's, as well as the individual's, ability to borrow is limited to its ability to acquire sufficient profit to repay the loan. As we come ever closer to that defining limit, that ability is increasingly restricted to ever fewer, ever bigger private sector competitors. This means that the export market becomes even more restricted, leaving the field to the most aggressive, most powerful. It is all part of a self-perpetuating cycle. It will end with increasingly prevalent bankruptcies and begin again after some national debt cancellations with severe austerity measures in place. Unless governments can rise from a horizontal to a vertical standing position and run our public utilities as competitive, profitable enterprises, we, the general public, along with our environment, will remain a malleable mass, moulded to suit the interests of big business.
And that reminds me of the current negotiations for the Transatlantic and Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreements, designed to expand the power of multinationals and diminish the legislative powers of the governments involved. Where's that going to lead us? Thanks for listening to a script by Graham Ferguson from his series on debt finance, spoken by performance poet Len Martin. This was Kaput Radio, which you can Google under the term Kaput X Radio. And mind you, Kaput spells with two T's. My name is Martin, and you can catch me with more Kaput Radio episodes next time.